For Wednesday, December 28th, 2011. It's the Palaver Audiocast with Lost in Bronx. Episode 11, Minotaur. Hello, this is Lost in Bronx. This past October, my family and I took a run through a local corn maze created annually by a small family-run farm in a nearby town. This is a sort of harvest-slash-Halloween event, and one that we look forward to. For those of you not in the United States, the whole idea of Halloween may seem foreign or even bizarre to you. This episode is not an exploration of this tradition. However, if you are so inclined, Wikipedia currently has a very nice article on the subject, and I encourage you to check it out before it gets damaged in some wiki editor's bush war. Anyway, while you're there, also look up the corn maze article if you want. It's short and really not impressive, but it will get the idea across if you're not sure of whence I speak. Don't bother. Here's an even shorter explanation for your convenience. In North America and other places, it has become fairly popular for corn farmers, after harvesting their crops for the year, to drive through the cornfield with their tractors and carve twisting paths all through the stalks. These are, in fact, large mazes, different each year, and they charge people a fee to enter and run through them. It can be a lot of fun. The farm that Little Bronx, Mrs. Bronx, and I went through is one such place. Now, it occurred to me then that some trite, simplistic, if personally profound, allegory for life was forthcoming from the experience. An insight, a forced parallel revealed to me of the twists and turns of life. You know, how our day-to-day existence is some sort of maze, and the minotaur of time is hunting us down even as we step trepidatiously through it all. Had I jumped on this content immediately after the experience, doubtlessly that would have been the gist you'd be enduring right now. But I've had time to think it through. And those insights, if they can be called that, would be obvious to you in a moment's time, and the rest of the show would be a trial of endurance. Hell, it might be anyway. Now, I'm as desperate for listeners as the next audiocaster, but not so much as to beat on them like that. So, what sort of parallel can I find? Well, only one, as it turns out. Lucky for you. Time isn't the minotaur, and neither is misfortune. Oh, to be sure, a creature is stalking us. All of us. But when it finally tracks us down, through the twists and turns of the maze, through the dank tunnels and dungeons of the greatest hopes and mistakes we have experienced, through the web-shrouded unknown that each and every turn of the corridors of life lead us to, when that monster finally catches up, the real surprise is how much it looks like us. We are the Minotaur. We run through the maze of our years, and we devour the helpless and the lost that we happen upon. We don't like to think of ourselves in that way, but we do it. We do it boldly, or with shame, or simply by proxy. But each of us is a taker, a consumer of life and wonder and innocence. We stalk and we hunt those virtues down in others and within ourselves so that we may use those things, so that we may worship and destroy them. But if we're lucky, very lucky indeed, some of us will exceed this curse. Some of us may well be the shining stars of our own legends, heroes as well as monsters, beings of myth who can, despite all odds and in the very face of expectation, slay the beast and find their way out of the maze at last. We'll be right back.
Uh-huh. Okay, we are in Snowflake, Arizona, a small town, and they do something here at a farm called Willis Farm. Every year they do a corn maze. Now, this is a farm, and they do the... Yeah, don't throw stuff, but every year they do a corn maze in this because they always have a big field full of corn that's primarily for cattle feed and things like that. And, give me a sec here. And, so every year we come because they do a really, really nice job. The maze is massive. And they even do a haunted maze at night, but we don't do that one. But, you know, we like going in and getting lost and finding everything. So that's what this is all about. And we've just walked into the place and we've come to a Y in the road, as it were. Do we go left? Do we go right? That's this the way, question. This way. So, it should be right over here. Now, the way they have this place set up...
I know where to go.
You do know.
This way.
Okay. You find it? He's getting us lost. Okay.
Yes, it's in there.
We better not lose him, though. All right, we're already getting separated here. Little Bronx just took off. And where are you, bud?
Over here.
Right, did you find it?
No.
Mama thinks she found it over here. All right. We're
going for the circle right now.
No. We were going after...
We're all the way back here, babe.
Yeah, we're going after this one right there.
Then I have no idea.
All right. All right, we're already lost in this marvelous maze. Put it down, Em. Put it down.
I want to stand.
All right, let's go.
Over here for it. Let's go.
That'll bring us back to that spot, won't it? All right, we are wandering around in the corn maze. Now, the way they have this place set up is there are 5 or 6 different spots hidden within the maze that have... a box with a hole punch in it, and the hole punches are shaped in a particular fashion. And we're also given a piece of paper. Actually, we have a piece of paper that have these shapes printed on them, and as you find each one of these things, you cut them, you know, you use the hole punch to punch it out. So there's like a club shape, a circle, a flower, a bone, butterfly, that sort of thing. And as you find them, you continue on to the next one. And once you've filled it all up, you get a prize, like a lollipop or a candy bar or something like that. And I know it sounds lame, but we have fun. It's a lot of walking, man. It's a lot of walking. And there are a lot of people through here. Now it looks like Little Bronx found the first one. So we're just looking around. No, I guess he didn't. And we'll just keep looking till we find them. We found the first one. It has a sign that says diamond. In the past, they've had a diamond-shaped one, but then they scrawled on top of it, which is actually the butterfly. So we're at the butterfly, the butterfly punch. So Em and I are playing a game where we're pretending to be like friends of Mario and Luigi, and we have to find certain keys. And we have found the first one. But there's a lot more yet to go. So. Okay, so we found the second one. It is a flower shape. And it was in exactly the opposite direction we thought we were going.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're doing that.
Woo!
Cow poop. Now we're walking by cow poop. We're walking away from the poop. All right. I think it's this one we want, which gets us into the pumpkin. All right, we got to go all the way to the top of the pumpkin.
Keep going this way.
Yeah. All right, there's a pumpkin shape carved into the field, and we're now walking through it. It's very big. Okay, we found the circle. This thing was really well hidden. We walked by it several times.
Yeah, we went in a full circle all the way around it.
Almost walked out of the maze. The edge of the maze is right over there. Okay, we just found the star.
And it actually
hidden.
Cuts.
Oh, and this one cuts. The circle one didn't cut for nothing. Might have to get into a fist fight trying to get our lollipops. Because it didn't actually cut through. You gotta punch the paper, man. Gotta punch the paper. You know, so. Wouldn't punch the paper, so maybe I'm gonna have to punch somebody out. Alright, we are looking now for the heart and the bone.
Which are in opposite directions.
Yeah, we are closer right now to the heart. Right? We just found the star? Yes.
Yeah.
Alright, we're closer to the heart. Where's the exit? That's the exit. We actually came in from the side here.
Yeah.
Right. If that actually would save us time, let's cut back.
Cut that.
Yeah. Here.
No, I don't. All
right, if we cut back here, we are back there. Okay. I know right precisely where we are. Middle of a cornfield. We just found the heart. And kind of stumbled on it. Well, I can get us in the
hold it this way.
The general ballpark, but Mrs. Bronx gets us right on the money. So, doing pretty good. Does this one cut?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one cuts. All right.
No, I just cut this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't cut your fingers. And don't cut the cheese.
Try again.
Yeah, that's close enough. There we go. All right.
Okay.
Okay, we have two more, one of which is hidden. It's not on the map. We get a little map when we come in. You can actually go through this thing without the map if you want to, and that's kind of a different competition. But one of these things is not on the map, and if you're lucky enough to get it, then I don't know, you found it. But
you're a winner.
Yeah, you're a winner. We have in the past found that thing.
The first year. When it was the circle.
Yes. But we have not found it since. So, got to keep our eyeballs open. Okay, hold on. Before we move on, let's figure out where we are. Because we have a long way to go to find the next one, which is a bone shape. Okay, we are on the trail of the bone, and it's really on the other side of the cornfield. And then we have to loop around and double back, and then continue on our way. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Now we loop around this way, heading this way, and then it'll turn up again. All right, that's the way we want it. Yep. Yeah, baby, we're here. Not quite. Still got a ways to go. Okay, zeroing in on the bone. That does sound a little provocative, but you know what I really mean. Alright, I was close. I was close to the bone. But I lost it. I don't know where it is.
Maybe it's one of these.
It could be right in here. It's possible. But I think we're just wandering now.
I thought some of those other branches were the common thing.
Well, it can't be too far. Then again, it's possible to wander far afield without really noticing it.
Stop.
All right, you know where we are?
I'm going to find it.
All right.
I think we just left that part. I'm pretty sure we left that part.
Oh, really? We're that far off? Okay.
I think this is where we are right now.
Oh, all right. Well, Papa has gotten us lost. What else is new?
I think we go this way.
All right, I'm going to follow you.
No, yeah. We have been here.
All right. So let's return. Yeah, we went over that way, and that got us the circle.
Yeah.
No.
Star?
Yeah, this was the star, I believe. The star, the heart, I believe. One of those.
All right. All right. We ended up back at the star and are now, because we know where that was, we're now headed back in the direction of the bone. We found the bone, the secret bone. All right, but it's not a secret bone. It was just hard to find. No, the secret one is the shamrock or the club. You know, it's shaped like a like a club on a deck of cards. And that one is not on the map. So we're on the trail of the mythical shamrock, the mythical club. We're just going in random directions, cutting through areas between pathways and following little Bronx as his nose leads us on. There's really no way to know where it could possibly be. And of course, there's absolutely no reason to continue looking, but hell, we paid to get in here. And we found everything in about 20 minutes, so better believe that.
45.
45 minutes. Ooh, 45. Well, I at least want an hour's worth out of it. You know, $6 a head to get in. That's $18. You know, it's up to me. I'd stay here all day to get my money's worth. The longer you're in here, the greater the value. Now think of it in those terms. Well, we are in an area. I don't think we've been here before. So, yeah, this is all new to me. Now, every Halloween, they do the haunted maze at night, you know, on the weekends leading up to Halloween. And basically, they have spots hidden in and around the maze where they have hired people who are dressed up like monsters who jump out and try to scare you, I guess, while you're trying to find all this crap. Now, I was thinking it would be awesome, absolutely awesome, to do a Minotaur maze, where they blindfold you and lead you in, and then in the middle of the maze, they let you take the blindfolds off, and there is someone dressed up like a Minotaur running around. Now that would be great, in the middle of the night.
That would be an awesome
horror. That would be awesome.
This appears to be a dead end.
Yeah, it does. Now, I figured the Minotaur could have like a paintball gun or something, and he can smack you with a paintball, and then that means you got eaten by the Minotaur. And that would be fun. And if people run away, you know, like the Minotaur, he'd have a paintball gun, but it would have to be like a really short range one. So, and he'd have like an endless supply of paintballs, and you can't attack the Minotaur. So,
sounds that might too.
Yeah.
Because we've seen power cables and things.
Yeah, there's all sorts. Yeah, they put lights and spooky sounds, you know, like ghost sounds and howling and stuff.
That way.
You want to go that way?
Yeah.
Hey, Wiggs, what do you think about going that way?
Okay.
All right.
No, around this way.
Let's try that way. All right. This is all random at this stage. It's been random since I turned this recorder on. But, yeah, that's the star. We found the star again.
I'm shortcutting over here.
Okay, we're going to shortcut over this way. The problem with the Minotaur maze is that as people run away in the dark, they'd be tripping over the furrows and breaking their ankles and smashing their noses.
That would be fine.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? If they had it all in closed camera, you know, like closed caption TV, or like if they put webcams all over the place and they could stream it out on the internet, man, I'd watch that. Okay, Mama found the heart.
So we're all the way down here.
We're in the opposite. I wanted to go in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got no sense of direction.
That way. Let's go that way.
All right.
That way. This is, well, I gotta tell you, yeah, it's rapidly losing its appeal, but I'm game for a few more. Few more wanderings. Alright, Little Bronx is definitely getting us through. Okay, he's found something, and I'm walking between fields. I'm actually in the middle of the corn. Okay. Ooh, have not been here before.
I think we're not supposed to be here. This is a separate maze.
No, I don't think so. Is it? I don't think there'd be a separate maze.
Yeah. We went into one where there was a sign for a corn maze, and the next one was the laser tag or something.
Well, let's see what that sign says, shall we? There's a sign. It's a dead straight run from one side of the field to the other. All right, and there's a sign, but it's facing the opposite direction. So let's see what it has to say, because it almost certainly says, you went the wrong way, stupid. And I'm sure that I did. But that's all right. I mean, I paid to go the wrong way, didn't I? You know, I'm tired. And my feet hurt. and I'm thirsty and getting out of breath, but I'm still enjoying it. I do enjoy this sort of thing.
Laser tag this way.
That way, all right. So we need to go back this way. There's a separate field just for laser tag. So I guess the laser tag is my Minotaur. That's where they should be doing the Minotaur.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean? What's a laser tag?
Well, basically, it's they run around with these light guns. It isn't actually lasers, but it is light based. The clover! Oh. We found it! You found it!
We did it! Clover! 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 Clover!
We found it. Okay, so we found the... We could actually go back to this trail here and just walk out. And we could actually walk straight out this way if you want. You want to go back? Okay.
Wonderful.
We found the clover, but now we don't know where we are. See, because we actually left the maze and we're not following the map. So we found our goal, but we haven't found ourselves. So we're going to wander a little bit more till we find a way out. All right, we're headed back. I think we're almost out now. I want my friggin' lollipop, man. Earned it this time. And we did it in record time, under an hour, I think. So, if we can get out before the hour is up, that's a new record for us, I think. Last time we were here about 2 hours.
Yeah.
Alright, so the exit still eludes us. We're going back this way. Yeah, but could you find that again now? Mrs. Bronx said, let's go back to the laser tag sign. But we've already lost that. Now, literally, if you take 10 steps, you could be out of sight of the thing that was giving you your orientation. And every piece of corn looks like every other piece of corn, every corn plant. It's,
very good maze.
It is a good maze. Yeah, it's a good maze. And it's a good, I really enjoy this. No, this is a dead end. Yeah, let's head that way. Where are you going, Wix? You can hear people, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I smell.
You smell?
Yes.
Tell the world how you smell.
I smell hot and sweaty.
I smell cow crap, because we're in a field where, like, cows crap. Hey, stay in sight, man. And little Bronx comes through. He finds the way out. We have once more returned to the arms of civilization, such as it is.
58 minutes.
58 minutes. New record. Woohoo! All right, we beat the maze. We got our lollipops. Got our Tootsie Rolls. I got a grape, because grape's my favorite flavor. And little Bronx got an orange, and Mrs. Bronx got a cherry. So, our adventure has concluded. But what about next year?
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Papa, actually, there's one thing.
What's that?
Talk into the mic.
I still want to see the slingshot!
Oh, yeah, they have a trebuchet that they set up for chucking pumpkins. Honestly, I don't think they're using it this year because it's not really set up as if they're going to be chucking it. See where it's. There's no sign for it. I don't think they're doing it this year. But they have a giant trebuchet set up, a catapult by any other name. And you pay a certain amount, pick your pumpkin, and they bring it over, hook it up to this thing, and launch it for you. And it becomes, it's just a lot of fun. They travel. Oh man, the last one we did had to go over 100 feet or more. Probably maybe even twice that. And they smash in a spectacular fashion.
Did you have a good time?
Yes, we did. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Oh.
All right.
There's one thing I still don't have.
And what is that?
A pumpkin.
That's smash.
The smash pumpkin.
I had this idea where, you know, like, people could play for real prizes. And they lob pumpkins into the cornfield while people are in there. And they could, you know, take their chances and maybe win a radio or, you know, it's a new car! Something like that. But, and I suggested my Minotaur idea to the lady, but she didn't seem enthused. That's all right. I'll just do it myself. $1 million idea. Let's go home.
So that was the corn maze. You know, it really was a lot of fun, though I gotta tell you, for a out-of-shape, middle-aged man following a rambunctious 9-year-old through, it had to be several miles of path through this corn maze. Man, you feel it. You feel it the next day, that's a fact. But, you know, it's a thing. It's one of our things. And I think it's important for families, especially, to have things that they share, things that they look forward to. And this one's a good one. You know, they aren't always so good, but this one I like. Let's see, what's up with me? I'm still working on the script for Eddie K episode 5. God almighty, it's the script that wouldn't end. Now, I took a break to do a short Christmas special for Eddie K. Very short, it's only about 8 minutes long. And I called it the Eddie K 2011 Christmas Quickie. And actually, it was a nice break. You know, it's just Eddie and Sal exchanging gifts. And, you know, I can do that sort of thing very easily. When those two are together, the words just fly out of my fingers. But when I bring other characters in who I guess don't really either understand as well or, really don't have as many, jokes and funny lines, it's not so easy bringing other characters in. It just, it isn't. And for me, it'll get easier. I mean, this one, episode 5, has got, I think, 9 voiced characters. That may change as I edit the script, but, it's going to be a startling change. And I'm not sure exactly how to approach very much of it, to be perfectly frank. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, the length of it already is at least 3 times the length of a normal IDK episode. And so it's got to get chopped down. And, I'm not even done yet. So, we'll get there. We'll get there. I'm hoping to have the darn thing done. Well, I was hoping to have it done originally by the end of November. And now I'm hoping to have it done by the end of December. That doesn't seem likely, but it's possible. You know, I have this thing. I'm going to try to get this thing out. I'm recording this on Monday the 26th, hopefully to get it out by the 28th. You know, so it's punching, palaver is punching a hole in the Eddie K script writing, but that's all right. I mean, it's the holidays. Everything gets disrupted during this time period, and I understand that. Let's see. Little Bronx. Now, if you have an interest to check out the Eddie K Christmas Quickie, Little Bronx helped me write it. Now, if you know the Eddie K stories, you know that there's a lot of rough language on those, on my show. The characters just constantly swear at each other. And no, Little Bronx didn't endure that while I was writing. But instead, I did a combination of editing myself on the fly while he came up with jokes, or, just adding the more caustic language later on. But it worked out really well, and actually a lot of the gags are his. So he definitely deserves a writing credit on that episode, and I'm very happy to have shared that with him, and I hope to do so again in the future. So, I'm pretty set on Eddie K 5 right now, but maybe future episodes they'll be fully co-scripted. We'll see. Christmas. Well, yesterday was Christmas. Highlights. This was easily the most expensive Christmas we have ever pulled off in our house. And yet it had the smallest amount of presents under the tree because they were expensive. A new computer and a 3DS, Nintendo 3DS for Little Bronx. And I gotta tell you, he was really disappointed. He's so used to having a million little crappy gifts. But you know what? This kid never throws anything out. His room is piled high with old plastic junky toys that he never touches. They're buried. He forgets he even has them, but he won't let any of them go, right? I'm sick of adding to that pile. Every year it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and he's like Smog on his hoard, and it's just gotten out of hand. This was short. It was sweet. He was really quite vocal about his disappointment, but I think in the course of a short amount of time, he'll see the appreciation of newer technology. The 3DS seems a natural progression. You know, they're not making the Nintendo DS anymore, and he, you know, that thing is you know, his lifeline in many cases, that and the Sony PSP that we had. But he broke it, or I don't blame him. It broke. The UMD drive doesn't work anymore on this last one. And this is like the fourth one we've had. Now, the UMD is a little disk drive that they have, like an actual optical disk drive in those little devices. You know, very clever, very impressive technology, really shaky, really hinky, you know. Naturally, they had to eventually go to a solid state device. And the newest version, the PlayStation Portable Vita or something like the Vita, I know that's what they're calling it, that damn thing is like $300 or something. It's really expensive. We could, you know, I mean, that's for the future maybe, but not now. Anyway, it was an expensive one, but not necessarily a fountain of riches, so to speak. Let's see, what else? Just before Christmas, This Thing of Ours number 5 came out. That ends season 1 of the mafia drama, the audio drama that I'm involved in. Scott Spaulding, who is the boss of bosses over at Decorated Air Theater, who produces This Thing of Ours, he's done an amazing job. It's really, you know, it's really a wonderful show. And I would be its number one fan, even if I wasn't on it. It's just really great. If you don't have to like mafia stories. You don't have to like, you know, gangster stories or anything like that to enjoy this. And honestly, you don't have to be all that familiar or even care for audio drama very much to get into this. I recommend you check it out. Do a web search for Decorated Air Theater, This Thing of Ours. Do that. I think you'll come up with it eventually. And I want to do a shout out here to a fellow named Pokey, who is cast on the show as well. Now, he's a guy I know from the IRC, mostly over at Hash Oddcast Planet on the Freenode Network. And, you know, he's a great guy and a very important pillar of the Hacker Public Radio community. And he also has an amazing voice. He has a wonderful voice. And he expressed an interest in audio drama some time ago. And I, at that point, didn't have anything that I was working on that I needed another voice for. But we had a real problem with This Thing of Ours, and we needed a voice for a character, a bit of a minor role in this episode, but in, I think, next season, it's going to turn into a much more important character. And I broached the subject to him. He seemed interested. Long story short, he was like the cavalryman. He came down over the hill and saved us, and, you know, really added a great voice to the show. So I think Pokey did a great job. So it's winter time. It has been a hard winter for us so far. I mean, it's just starting. You know, we're at the end of December. We still have months of this stuff to get through. We've had pipes freezing now. I don't know how many times. We had two pipes break on us, hot water pipes, and we have the pipe going into the washing machine is frozen right now and doesn't work. I'm telling you, it's friggin' brutal. Now, what's the difference? What's different about this year? Well, first off, we've had more cold nights, sub-zero temperatures so far. Okay, we've had that going for us. Secondly, the price of propane, fossil fuels, this year has gotten so expensive. This is the first year in my memory that it's actually cheaper to use electric heat. Now, I've never, ever seen that before, but it's true this year because we've been heating the house very comfortably with space heaters, you know, and these are the those oil radiator heaters, much safer than something with an exposed element. And, you know, they really do a nice job overall. The disadvantage is we're warm, but the house itself isn't. We have a forced air heating system in the house, and the ducts run through the floor. Now, I am certain that when they built this house, they designed it so that the pipes would be warmed by the forced air ducts as, you know, as they go through. They'd probably, you know, run right by them. At any rate, we've never had frozen pipes like this before. And this year, we've hardly turned on the house heat, the forced air heat. And we've had a bunch of broken pipes. So I'm thinking that that is probably the case. Well, we cannot afford the propane. I mean, filling the propane tank is like $350 and, you know, a month. And, you know, we just don't have it. We just don't have it. We're a single income, three-member family. And I don't know what we're going to do, but we're definitely going to need a refill sometime in, well, at this rate, maybe February or March, you know, because I am turning it on a little bit now. You know, I'm sick of these pipes breaking. It's, you know, the plumber is getting rich off of us. You know, pay the propane guys or pay the plumber. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, that has been just marvelous. We've had a ton of snow so far this year, a couple feet total since the beginning of December. You know, I'm not kidding, like 2 to 3 feet total on, you know, from different snowfalls. And we've had all that shoveling, well, to, you know, to enjoy. That has been just, I can't even tell you how great that is. Now, I grew up in New England. I am no stranger to snow and shoveling, but I am sick of it. You know, it's an absolute fact. As you get older, you get sick and tired of doing it. And I am. And I'd really like to see less of that. You know, I'd love to see lots of rain. Let's have rain, you know. Bump the temperatures up to the 40s or 50s and just give us rain and I'll be thrilled. Thrilled! Anyway, as you can hear, this is another joy. As you can hear, I have a cold, you know, settled in my chest and my throat and my sinuses. Had a fever for a while. We all had them. Mrs. Bronx, Little Bronx, we were all sick. And that's just been icing on the cake. And when you're dealing with broken pipes and shoveling snow and this cold, you know, I mean, it's just been a joy. Oh, it's been great. Here's another joy. I've been breaking my teeth lately. You know, I mean, I need to hit a dentist in the worst way. You know, I'm really looking like a local hillbilly now. But, you know, I'm eating a raisinette, a chocolate-covered raisin, right? And an old filling breaks. And, you know, I can't afford to go to a dentist either. That's another great joy. You know, afford it or not, I'm going to have to find a way and at least get something taken care of. But I'm not in any pain, but it is a pain, if you understand. Yeah, the recurring theme here is money is tight. But it's an old story, and I think it's one that we're all experiencing, or most of us right now. Those who are not experiencing it, those who are in a good position, who are listening to this, I encourage you to just enjoy what you've got while you've got it. Because you may not have it tomorrow. As solid as it all might seem, trust me, it can go away pretty fast. And you can find yourself scrambling in the cold, digging snow and fixing broken pipes because you can't afford to turn the heat on. If you think it can't happen to you, trust me, it can. But that being said, this is the end of the year. Right? This is the end of 2011, which by pretty much every measure of the thing that I can envision has been one of the hardest years of my life. Emotionally, physically, financially, all of it has been very difficult, and I am not shedding a tear to see it pass. Let's see. Speaking of the new year, now I'm working on Eddie K5, and I'm hoping to have that done by February sometime. I don't, at this stage, don't think I'm going to be able to, maybe March. But if I can get it out, after that, I really do think I want to take a break from Eddie K. I've said that before, but I'm thinking it's probably a good idea. It's simply because I do have other stories I want to tell, other avenues of audio drama that I want to explore, and it'd just be nice to take some time to do that. Eddie and Sal aren't going anywhere. They're not getting any older, so, you know, I can pick them up at any point. I can do Eddie K stuff in between all the other stuff. That would be fun too. That actually ought to be the way I do it, just to keep myself from burning out. But anyway, that may very well be coming up in 2012 for me. Let's see. Something else I haven't been doing, which is HPR episodes, Hacker Public Radio. I owe Ken Fallon and the rest of the community episodes. I have a recurring series going on there called Theater of the Imagination, which covers my take on audio drama in its various forms, you know, including old-time radio, as well as the new stuff, as well as, you know, my own exploration as I learn and progress in this art form. So I owe them that, because it's been a very long time. I think back in the summer was the last one I did. And, you know, I do have some thoughts. I do have some things I'd like to talk about. So let's see. Last, I've been recording a lot of audio diary entries. I haven't uploaded them, but when I do, there'll be a bunch of them dumping onto my site. And I'll get, you know, you'll have that address at the end of this episode. And if you're so inclined, you can take a listen there. And that's just sort of my, you know, those are snapshots of my thought processes, the things we're going through. Some of it is really mundane. Some of it is pretty good, I think. You know, I mean, they're just thoughts. They're just insights and thoughts. But if you have an interest in, you know, hearing me ramble on in especially bad quality audio, you know, that's the place to look. Those are in Speaks format, which if you can't listen to Speaks, if you don't like Speaks, you're out of luck. But that's where they are, because I, you know, it's just, you know, it would be way, way too much audio to store on the site. So I use the smallest codec I can find. And Speaks does the job. I mean, they're listenable. They are. It's just, anyway. I'm going to try to get that up by the new year. And then I can clear that off of my to-do list and start with something new. So, that's it. I hope you enjoyed it, because it might be the only episode of this thing for a while. I've gotten really bad that way. But if I can, I certainly will do another one soon. I like them, and even though I don't really have anything to say, it's nice to have my own show in which to say it anyway. I hope each and every one of you have a wonderful new year. This has been Lost in Bronx. Take care. The music for this episode is a piece called Doll Heads by Ivan Chu, also known as Rambling Librarian, and can be found on dig.ccmixter.org. If you'd like to contact me, you can. Drop me a line at lostinbronx@gmail.com. That's lostinbronx@gmail. If you'd like to check out my site, please do. You'll find it at info-underground.net/LNB. Palaver is copyright 2011 by the author and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike Unported 3.0 license. Feel free to use it for any purpose, even commercial.